message throughout this book of 2 Timothy, as we finish up the last week on 2 Timothy, his message to Timothy has been, continue to be faithful to the gospel. That this ministry work that they're doing is worth giving your life for. That it's something worth pouring into. And it's not something that we just look at and say, I have time, I'll get to it. If I have time, I'll plug in, I'll serve a little bit, I'll give a little bit if I'm able to, if it works with my schedule, if it works with my finances, if it works with my social life, I'll try and make it happen. Paul's message to Timothy has been, above all else, be faithful and loyal to what God is doing, because that is the thing that defines whether you are successful as far as your relationship with God. That's his message. And I want to give you that kind of handle to go to hold on to, that message of be faithful, because this text is a little difficult. It's a little disorganized. It's some thoughts that aren't necessarily deductive. They don't, one thought doesn't come from another. It's a little scattered as far as Paul's final instructions to Timothy go. And so as we get into that, I want you to understand what he's saying before we just look at a bunch of names that we can hardly pronounce and not really understand what Paul is trying to do here.
Yeah.
And so when we look at what Paul means, or what Paul defines faithfulness as, he's going to start with some examples. And so the first thing he's going to tell Timothy is, when you are faithful, when you are acting out of obedience to the gospel, when you are loyal with your entire life to what God has called you to do, what that means is you won't be unfaithful. So to be faithful is to not be unfaithful, right? That's what Peter goes in there for, just so you know. To be faithful is not to be unfaithful. And he's going to give some examples here, starting in verse 9. So let's just get into this first section. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. And when you come, bring your cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books and above all the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. This is Paul's message to Timothy. He's going to look around at that Paul and Timothy and this group of missionaries have kind of banded together and formed a church planning network where they've got a team and they've been going all over Asia, all over the Roman Empire. They've been setting up churches. They've been appointing pastors, bringing people to know the Lord. And yet at the end, here, where Paul is in prison, where he's awaiting his final sentence, where he is most likely executed, he's going to tell Timothy that some of that same team that have set up this church planning network have left, gone away. They're flaky, right? The friends that you have that are flaky, that you know that if you have a dinner scheduled with them, there's still like a 50-50 shot that 3 weeks before they're going to get a better offer and drop out.
Yeah.
These people, they're flaky. But in particular, one person Paul's going to point out as disloyal, and he's going to say for a very specific reason. Verse 10, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Demas is a person that we see in a couple of other occasions. Paul mentions him in the letter to Philemon. He mentions him at the end of Colossians. He's a part of the missionary team. He's faithful and loyal to bringing the gospel to the nations with Paul. And yet by the end, Demas is gone. And he's gone because he's in love with this present world. Some of your translations might say this present age. It's the idea in the New Testament that there's this age right now, the way that the world works currently. It operates under kind of the chains of sinfulness, that we are dictated by our own human desires, our own wants, our own needs, whatever makes me happiest. Whatever works the best for my life, that's how I choose the daily decisions that I have to make. Those decisions is based on the love of this world and what it can give me. And that is what drives demons away from ministry, and it's what drives most people away from ministry. But suddenly, the passions of this world, the love that this world, the pleasure that this world can offer us, suddenly begins to overtake our love for what we have in Christ eternally. Yeah. That's Paul's message here to Timothy. See, it's interesting that we don't even know what it is that Demas loves so much that he would give up his gospel ministry. Mm-hmm. We have no idea what's in Thessalonica that he runs away from the ministry for. It could be a job. It could be the comfort of being close to family. It could be a relationship that he is pursuing, that he's giving up his calling, that God has placed in his life, especially for him, and he's thrown it away. We have no idea what for. That's actually very important for us, that we don't know why Demas runs away. Because then that raises the question for us, what is it that we are throwing away God's call for us in our lives for? What are the things in our life that we love so dearly that are of this world, that don't mean anything in relation to eternity? And yet we would throw all of what God has designed us for just to get those things. Some of us this very week have done more reading politics and Cowboys upcoming draft, more reading on celebrities and movies, video games and entertainment. We've done more of that than we've done reading this book. We've done more thinking about what can make us happiest in the moment than we have thinking about what God is calling us to use in our life to leverage the advancement of the gospel, the advancement of the kingdom. This is a very serious warning for us, because Demas, he's not like the other false teachers that Paul references. See, Paul references down in verse 14 another name, Alexander the coppersmith, did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. Alexander is not an insider in the ministry of Paul. He's an outsider who opposes the gospel going. And there are some of those in the church, some of those that do oppose the gospel moving forward, some of those that do roll their eyes when the church puts out a new plan to reach the community, because if they're honest, they really don't want to participate in anything that makes them get uncomfortable. That's not Demas, though. Demas is a faithful lifer for the church. He's there every meeting. He's setting up chairs an hour before. He's running sound. Right, he's hitting the lyrics on the screen. He's faithful. Helps with the offering. For many of us, this is a warning. It's a warning to watch out for the things that are in our lives every day that are in this world. Mm-hmm. The things that will pull us away.
Yeah.
The sins that are far too tempting, that we just think, you know, I could do this and still maintain my appearance and position in the community of the church. I can have this and I can still sort of be involved. I can keep a tight hold of my finances without really wanting to give sacrificially, and still people look at me as a faithful Christian. I can never share the gospel with my neighbor because honestly I'm kind of too embarrassed to talk about it, but I can still kind of be involved in the church. Paul is saying that mindset, that attitude, will destroy our faith. There is a love for what this world can offer us, what this life can give us, the pleasures of looking at whatever you want in an instant on your phone, pleasures of having whatever you want, going to college and majoring in whatever you want, and then getting the career that you want, making as much money as you want. Those pleasures will drive you away from God's calling. That's what it means to be faithful. To love the world and what it offers more than what Christ has already given us on the cross. That's what it means to be unfaithful. So we've looked at what it means to be unfaithful, and so what does it mean to be faithful? Because sandwiched in between these two men, Alexander and Demas, are some positive examples. Starting at verse 11, Luke alone is with me. get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Three men, right? We've seen the unfaithful, we've seen Demas, and we've seen Alexander, who fight against the gospel or who run away from the gospel ministry. And then right in the middle, we see three men who continue to be faithful. Luke, who, even though Paul is in prison, even though this Christian movement seems to be kind of on one leg, because their faithful leader, who has done so much to start new churches, is about to die. Luke doesn't run away from that. Luke stays. See, being faithful to the gospel is going to require staying in the middle of opposition. It's going to require awkward conversations with people that you know and love about their salvation. It's going to require uncomfortable questions about where are areas in my budget that I can maybe go without so that I can give a little bit more missions and send the gospel to the whole world. What are relationships that I have right now that honestly I'm not really looking to share the gospel in those relationships? Luke doesn't do any of that. Luke knows that when life gets uncomfortable, he is still called to be unquestionably faithful. The same is true for Mark. Mark is very useful to Paul for ministry. Mark is available. Not only is he available, but he's longing to go on Paul, to go with Paul on these missionary journeys. He's longing to go and spread the gospel. He's longing to do something great. The same is true for Tychicus. Tychicus is so loyal and so faithful to the work that Paul actually sends him to Ephesus. And that doesn't really sound like a lot, but it's actually very important, because that word sent in the New Testament generally only refers to one person. It refers to Paul. In Acts, Paul is the one that's constantly being sent with his missionary team to go to certain cities and share the gospel and plant churches. Not here. Paul isn't being sent anymore. Instead, because Tychicus has been so faithful to the ministry, so faithful to the message, God is now sending, Paul is now sending him to this church to do the work. Because Tychicus, above all else, values the gospel and the kingdom. That's what this text is saying. And so what does this look like for us? It's really just a question of what our life revolves around. Because there will be one thing. In fact, we live in a world that's obsessed with this. We live in a world that's obsessed with mission statements and vision statements and purpose statements and looking for that one thing that drives you and determines everything that you do with your life. That's kind of the wisdom that our world is obsessed with. What Paul is telling Timothy is, we've already found what that one thing is. The one thing that drives us is to be faithful to the gospel, to be faithful to sharing it, to be faithful to conforming our lives to it, to being Christ-like, to getting rid of any sin that's there that we haven't confessed of, to be faithful to that gospel. That is the thing that drives us. That's the thing that drives Paul. It's the thing that drives Mark. It's the thing that drives Luke. It's certainly the thing that drives Tychicus, who is aiming to be sent to plant and serve in the new church. That's what Paul is saying here. The question that many of us ask when we come to a text like this is, why should I bother? What does it matter? I mean, really, if the person that comes to church every other week and the person that spends every waking hour at church still go to the same place because they've accepted Jesus, they've gotten their get out of hell free card, if that's what this is, why should I bother being faithful? I'll go to the same place, right? We all get the same reward. That's really interesting where Paul goes with this, because Paul himself has remained faithful in the midst of persecution and prison, and yet he has been left alone. Verse 16, at my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted. But all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me, strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed to all the Gentiles might hear. This is it. This is the point that Paul has been left alone, except that he hasn't. That when he has been in prison, in front of courts, as he has been being beaten and flogged and stoned and pushed out of cities for his message, and he feels alone and abandoned, he flips it and turns it around and says, "But I've never been alone and abandoned. Because when no one stood by me, the Lord stood by me, strengthened me, so that the gospel would go to the Gentiles." See, when we are faithful to God, he is in turn faithful back to us. Mm-hmm. We are loyal and obedient to him, he is faithful to stand by us and strengthen us. And it doesn't mean that life is easy. And it doesn't mean that ministry and serving the church works out like we always think. There's still going to be the awkward moments in serving the church. There's still going to be the everyday moments where you don't think ministry is going to mean you have to stack chairs, but you kind of stack chairs. There's still going to be those moments, right? What it means is, even in those moments, you have an extraordinary awareness of God's presence and his work in your life. That when you continue to be faithful to him, to seek him out, to love him and his kingdom above all else, moves. What does that look like for Paul? Because Paul has not only been strengthened and supported by God, but the end of verse 17, "So I was rescued from the lion's mouth." God did a work in Paul's life. This is a metaphor using kind of that Daniel and the lion's den imagery that Paul has been before. Court after court, governor, ruler, the ruler, stand trial. He's still here. He's in prison for sure. And that seems hopeless. But God isn't through with him because he's still doing the work of the ministry. He's still writing letters to these churches because he asks Timothy to bring the books and the parchments so that he can keep writing these letters. He's standing firm because he sees that God is moving since he has been faithful. Many of us are looking for this passionately. We get up and we read our Bibles every day. We have our quiet times. We ask, why isn't God doing anything? We ask, why don't I know God as well as I think I should know? And there's got to be more than this. There's got to be more than just awkwardly reading a chapter of the Bible that I don't seem to understand. It doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't seem relevant to my life anyway. There's got to be more to this. Paul is saying, if you want to see more of God, you want to know more of him, serve and be faithful to him. Keep leaning in and keep obeying when it seems hard and when it seems difficult and when it seems uncomfortable and when you're the only one that's doing it. Be faithful. That's been the whole point of the book, is that Timothy is called to be faithful to this. And so then the question for us is not, what are we called to do? We know we're called to be faithful. Where are we falling off? Where are we falling off? Because it's easy to look at this passage and say, all right, well, this is Paul talking to Timothy, and he's talking about a bunch of their missionaries that are on their missions team. So this doesn't really apply to me exactly, because I'm not called to ministry, and I'm not called to this kind of level of faithfulness and sacrifice. And that would all work out really well, except for this last section, starting at verse 19. "Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, and I left Trophimus at Miletus. Do your best to come before winter. Eubulus sends greetings to you, as do Eubulus, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you." What's interesting about this is two main things. One, the names that we see in this verse are not the same kinds of names that we see earlier. See, the previous names that we saw, names like Demas and Luke, Mark, Titus, Tychicus, we know that those are guys on Paul's missionary team who are called full-time to preach the gospel. That's what we know about them. What we know about these names is these guys are probably not the same. These are probably just faithful members of the church that Paul is serving in. They're just everyday church members. Haven't been called to ministry. They're not called to preach or work full-time at a church. But they're still called to be faithful as well. Paul still sends his greetings to them because they have stayed faithful. Some of some of us in this room assume that, you know, there's this category of higher level of being a Christian, of these super Christians who God calls to teach and preach and really serve and really be involved. And then there's everybody else who kind of just, our best hope is to kind of know some of the Bible. You know, we pray and we know it. We serve sometimes, but we're not these guys over here. What Paul is saying is that attitude doesn't work. There is no divide between those on his missions team who are called to full-time vocational ministry and those who are at the churches that Paul has planted. They are all called to be faithful. They are all called to give up everything they have and use it and leverage it for the kingdom. That's his point here. Question: where are those areas? Where are those places where you know God is calling you to take a step of faithfulness and act out in serving? Some of you, you've never had kind of a regular Bible reading plan. You know, yeah, God tells me that I need to be in his word and meditate on his word. But I really haven't ever made time to do it. Be faithful. Ask one of us at the church. We'll help you. We'll get you a reading plan. We'll get you set up. Be faithful to what God's calling you to. For some of you, you've never taken that step after salvation to be baptized. We have baptism Sunday next week. It's a great time to do it. Be faithful. Be obedient to what God has called you to do, to be baptized as a result of what he's done in your life. Some of you men in this room, God is calling you to passionately lay down your lives to disciple your family. You've never once read the Bible with your kids. Be faithful. Disciple your children. Teach them to love the Lord like Paul teaches Timothy and his other children in the ministry to love the Lord. Step out and do it. Leverage the areas that God has placed you in for the gospel and for his kingdom. Some of you today have never ever met Jesus. Right? You see this kind of relationship that Paul talks about with Jesus, and he says, I know that the Lord stood by me. I know that the Lord strengthened me. And you look at that, and that seems completely foreign because you've never had a relationship with Jesus in the first place. You've heard about him. You've been to church all your life. You posted an inspirational post about him on Facebook, how God loves you and protects you. But you've never met him. You don't have this kind of relationship with him that Paul has, where he says, I know him, and I know that he has stood by me and strengthened me and will continue to do that until I go home to be with him forever. Mm-hmm. And you can't say any of that because you've never met him. You do not know him. Today, Paul is telling you that your first step to be faithful, your next step of obedience to come to know him, is just to take a walk this morning up to the front.